And as we come to share in the gospel tonight, we come to share, of course, a message that is old yet ever new. But it's a message that each of us do well to hear, to reflect upon, and as prompted and necessitated, even from the Word of God, to respond to if you are gathered with us tonight outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. For in this great message that we come to share tonight, there is a message of hope. There is a message of eternal salvation. And as we share in these moments together, I want us to look at the past. I want us to consider the present, and I want us then to also look to the future. And so as we come to look to the past, I want us to turn in our Bibles to Isaiah in the chapter 53. The book of Isaiah in the chapter 53, and we're going to read together the entire chapter that is before us. And this chapter is a well-known chapter. It'll be familiar to many who turn to it this evening. But this contains for us a great picture of past provision. A great picture of past provision. The Word of God says in Isaiah in the chapter 53 in the verse 1, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see at the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." In this passage we come face to face with the past provision. And Isaiah had a very unique ministry, for as we enter into the book of Isaiah, we know that the Lord challenged the people of Israel with these words, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as snow." And so as that we enter into the book, we realize and identify that Isaiah the prophet was given this unique ministry of God. Why? Because there was a problem evident in the hearts of the people. That brought us on then to Isaiah in the chapter 9, where Emmanuel, the one that we were just singing off a few moments ago, was prophesied, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given," and that promise of the coming Savior was given to the nation of Israel. And as we then learned further of what the Lord Jesus Christ would have to go through in this world, we come then to Isaiah in the chapter 53, and we see that this mercy of mission for which Messiah came was the events that are depicted for us here in this chapter. It was all to provide a full and free salvation to all, that all who believe will know what it is to receive forgiveness of sins and the promise of a home in heaven. Tell me tonight, is that your reality? Do you know what it is to stand right before God? Do you know what it is to have your sins forgiven? Do you know what it is to rejoice tonight in the one who bore your sin and who carried your sorrow? Bible tells us of a man by the name of Ornan. He was a Jebusite who lived just outside the city of Jerusalem. One day he got up with his four sons, and he went out from his house, and he went out to his work that was just right outside his door. And the Bible tells us that he began to thresh wheat. But unbeknown to him, there was something unfolding in the nation of Israel at the time, for David the king had sinned. He had sinned against God and the numbering of the people, and therefore God had sent a messenger unto David and said, because of your sin, you must now choose the punishment that you and the nation of Israel shall face because of your iniquity. You can choose 3 years of famine. You can choose 3 months where your enemies will know what it is to have full and free flow across your borders. Or you can choose 3 days where the hand of the Lord will move through the land, slaying at will whomsoever he chooses. David makes a remarkable statement as a servant of God stands before him. And he says, I know I have sinned, but now I'm going to cast myself upon the mercies of my God. And so for 3 days, the angel of the Lord passed through that land. But the Bible tells us that as the angel is given that authority by God to move through the land of Israel, slaying at will whom he chooses, man, woman, or child, that as he approaches the great city of Jerusalem, the place where many men, many women, and many children are to be found, the words of Scripture are that God repented him of that which he had deemed necessary in the life of Israel. And so he stayed the hand of the great angel that was passing through the land, the angel of death, and he stayed the hand of the angel of death right above the threshing floor of Ornan. And Ornan was a stranger to God. He was an outsider there in the Israelite nation. He knew nothing of the Hebrew God, nor we have any indication that he sought to follow him, worship him, or honor him in any way. But there he was, face to face with the reality of the great I Am. And there with his four sons gathered behind him, hiding because of the fearsome sight of the angel of death above them, with his sword outdrawn, ready to slay at will, but nevertheless stayed by the almighty hand of God. The Bible tells us that Ornan looked down his driveway that day and beheld as the king of Israel come up to him. David recognized in that moment that he had something necessary to do. He knew that a sacrifice must be made. He knew that true worship must be made to the Almighty God if it was to see the sparing of the great city of Jerusalem, if the slaying of the angel of death was to be spared. And so he says unto Ornan, give me a price. I want to buy this threshing floor because I want to build an altar. I want to construct a place of worship to the Lord God. And Ornan says, I give it all. You can take the threshing floor. I don't want any money. You can take the oxen. You can take my threshing instruments for the wood. You can take the wheat for the offering also. But just take it all because I give it all because I'm face to face here with the reality of the Almighty God. Friend, tonight as you come to this gathering, you may have not intended to tune in. You may have not intended to join with us. You may not have intended to be gathered here around the Word of God, but a divine appointment was made on your behalf. Why? Because God knows that except you hear these words whereby you might be saved, then you will be cast into a Christless eternity. And oh, tonight up the driveway of your heart, the Spirit of God comes. And tonight in His great mercy, the mercy that David testified, He extends this offer of salvation, pointing to the past provision of Jesus Christ there on Calvary's cross. Because make no mistake about it, that same place where the threshing floor was known, that place, same place of sacrifice, that unadorned place where God had deemed it necessary for David to worship him, for David to have made sacrifice to him, reminds us of that old, plain, unadorned cross at Calvary. And there upon Calvary's cross, Jesus Christ gave his life a ransom for all. Jesus Christ died the just for the unjust. And tonight he says to you, outside of Christ, outside of him as your own and personal Savior, with an own knowledge of the forgiveness that is offered, he extends that hand to you. And he says, these nail-pierced hands remind you, they testify of what I have done. And on that day that I suffered upon that cross, I give it all. The Bible tells us there he poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God, slain for a sinner like you, slain for a sinner like me. See, Christ came. He was a paschal lamb. He was without blemish and without spot. He was slain at the appointed time. And upon that cross, God the Father made him to be sin for us. God the Father laid on him the iniquities of us all. And in that moment of time, God the Son bore our griefs, carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. But tonight, with his stripes, will you be healed? The gospel reminds us of the past provision. Jesus Christ gave it all. But jump forward another two chapters and we come to the present reality. Because before us tonight is the present day invitation to come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation. Isaiah in the chapter 55 reads this, "Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, I shall call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." And friend, here's the present invitation. Come to the Lord. You're here tonight and you're outside of Christ. You know nothing of the full and free pardon that we have spoken of, that he has provided by his own death there on Calvary's cross. And so tonight he extends to you this invitation. Come on to me. If you're thirsting, longing for satisfaction, and the things of this world have proven even to be unsatisfactory, to be they which never provide that which you desire, come to come to the Lord. It says, he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why? Because Christ paid the price. That's why we speak of the past provision. We're not relying on what you and I can bring. That night as I sought the Lord Jesus Christ for my salvation, I brought nothing of myself, but I received everything that he promised. Why? Because he's faithful to his word. And Christ paid the price. He gave of his own life a one-time ransom for all. A one-time sacrifice for sin forever. And now he's forever set at the Father's right hand, ever living to make intercession for his own, ever living to respond, positively respond to the sinner's prayer. And his invitation is to come. In verse 3, we read there, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear and your soul shall live. Tonight you're presented with an opportunity. Tonight is presented to you an invitation, but an invitation to which you must respond. And whether you realize it or not, by your actions, by the decision that you make and what you do with the gospel tonight, you're responding to God. You'll either say yes, or you'll turn this off, and you'll leave saying no. You'll reject the offer of salvation, and you'll turn your back on the full and free provision that he's made, and you'll make little of the price that he paid. But tonight he says, incline your ear and hear. Hear and your soul shall live. He wants to make an everlasting covenant with you. He wants to give you that promise, that eternal promise of a home in heaven. He wants to give you right now as your present possession eternal life. And the knowledge that nothing in this world shall separate you from his love, and no one can pluck you from the Father's hand. For if you come and confess of your sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation, then you're eternally his. You're forever a child of God. You might say, well, why does all that matter? Why does it matter that Christ paid a price in the past? Why does it matter that I reflect upon or consider this great past provision? Why does it matter that I respond to this present invitation? We'll come across just two more chapters. Isaiah in the chapter 15. Look at your future destination. The Bible tells us in Isaiah in the chapter 15, in the verse 15, 57 and the verse 15, for thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. This is where we're all headed. Eternity. You know, it's so important to come and preach the gospel. And I always look forward to a gospel meeting with anticipation. Why? Because this is the work of God. This is truly the message that God would have us to declare, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And there is salvation to be found in believing in Jesus Christ alone. But you know, as I come time after time to preach the gospel, I am reminded that I have one obligation, to preach for eternity. Because you see, tonight it doesn't matter truly if you like what I say. It doesn't matter if you even remember anything about me. It matters only that you receive and respond to this never-changing message. A message of warning, but oh, a message of love and a message of hope. Because one day you will know what it is to pass from this life into eternity. I know you and I cannot fathom just how vast eternity is. But the Bible gives us a little indication here, because we're speaking here of the high and lofty one, the one who inhabiteth eternity, God Almighty, the great I Am. No, you and I can remember the day that we were born, and it's fixed very neatly there in a thing called time. And if God is merciful to us, we may live to see a span of years that brings us to this point of time, the day that we die. But, oh friend, tonight eternity just keeps going. And it keeps going and it keeps going. And I could go on and I could do laps of this building tonight and it would never fully explain the vastness of eternity. But how is it tonight that you're so concerned with what happens here that you don't give a thought to what's going to happen here? And that's why tonight God has allowed you this opportunity once more to hear the gospel message, once more to be confronted with your great need in the gospel, that you might respond before you reach this point and enter all of this point, that you might know what it is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Oh, eternity. Eternity. Where will you spend eternity? Because yes, we can look back and rejoice in the past provision of the Savior. And yes, you can be confronted with this present invitation to come unto Him. But your future destination is eternity. And in eternity, you either go to the place called heaven or the place called hell. There's no in between. And there's no going one place and then transferring to another. Where you go to in eternity is your eternal destination forever. And that's why it's so important tonight that you respond to this present invitation. Oh, time is so little. But eternity is so great. The decision that you make tonight, the decision that you make in your heart as you hear the gospel truth, determines all of eternity. You see, for me, I know with great confidence that if I close my eyes in death tonight, that it is well with my soul. I will awaken to behold my Savior, that I will bask in His likeness and in the radiance of His glory throughout all eternity, that I will dwell with the glorified saints above, that I will rule and reign with Him here on earth for 1,000 years, that I will enjoy the provision that He has provided for those who know Him in the new heaven and the new earth. But if you're outside of Christ tonight, that's not what you can look forward to. For in eternity, you shall be cast into everlasting damnation. That is a place, the Bible tells us, where the worm dieth not, and where the fire of torment and torture is never quenched. A place where the suffering is literal. It's a place where you will forever be separated by the blackness of darkness, but you will forever remember the night that you said no to Christ. You'll remember those who have prayed with you. You'll remember those who have witnessed to you. You'll remember that mother or that father, that grandmother or that grandfather who wept over you. You'll remember the friend that pleaded with you to get it right with the Lord. You'll remember the Holy Spirit of God knocking on your heart's door. But you wouldn't let Him in. And oh, throughout all eternity, you shall live with the reality that you're lost. And for you, it was not well it was truly not well with your soul. Where will you spend eternity tonight? We don't know the day nor the hour that we reach that point of our death. But tonight, God has given you the opportunity to know where you will spend eternity. Will you close in on Him who offers a full and free salvation? Remember the words that we began with. There in Isaiah in the chapter 1, he says, "Come now. Let us reason together." Don't harden your heart. As the Spirit of God is speaking and striving with you, hear the voice. Respond to the invitation and cast yourself upon the provision that Christ has made. Because tonight He died for you. He died as you. And oh, tonight He extends an invitation, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Eternity. Where will you spend eternity?